Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The kingdom grows by new people being added to it, and God has called us and he wants to use us to play a part in that. And you know, here's the amazing thing. You never know to what extent God might use you. You never know.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Revelation. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, in a message titled, Hallelujah Chorus. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Now, the kingdom of Christ could be described in a number of different ways, but Paul describes it in Romans 14, 17 in this way, and this is the description that I want to use. He describes the kingdom of God as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul uses that to describe the current manifestation of the kingdom. So here's the thing that we need to remember, that the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, this kingdom that is coming, has already come partially, but it's going to come in its totality in the future. But on the individual level, we can enter the kingdom today, but this is just a foretaste of what is going to come in the future when the Lord actually establishes the kingdom. So it will be a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. Let's just talk about those three things real quickly. It will be a kingdom of righteousness. When we talk about a kingdom of righteousness, what are we talking about? We're talking about a kingdom in which everything will be made right. See, there will be nothing wrong in that kingdom. Every wrong will be righted. All of the wrongs of history, all of the wrongs that we currently live with, they will not be a part of that future kingdom. Everything will be right. Oppression, injustice, inequality, none of those things will exist. None of those things will ever exist again. It is a kingdom of righteousness, and it is established by Christ, who is the righteous king. And Isaiah is the prophet that gives us the most detail about these things. Now, maybe you've heard this before. If you haven't, let me just tell you that Isaiah is known as the prophet of the Messiah. And Isaiah, more than any other prophet, gives us details about the person of the Messiah, about the work of the Messiah, and about the kingdom of the Messiah. So as we're talking about the coming kingdom of Christ, I want to use Isaiah and his statements to show you what it is that we're talking about here. So when it comes to righteousness, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 3 through 5 say this, speaking of Christ, speaking of Jesus, when he returns, he will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. You see, the kingdom is going to be a righteous kingdom because it's going to be ruled by a righteous king. And there will not even be allowance for unrighteousness. It will not be tolerated for a moment in that kingdom. And because the Lord is the one who's going to be the ruler and he's going to dispense the justice and all that, it's going to be a perfectly righteous kingdom. That's what is coming in the future. That's what we are longing for, and that's what we are actually waiting for. So it's a kingdom of righteousness. Secondly, it's a kingdom of peace, where the increase of his government, it says in Isaiah chapter 9, the increase of his government, the Prince of Peace, the increase of his government will have no end. So it will just continue to expand with no end ever. And it is a reign of peace. I can't remember the exact statistics. Somebody calculated it at one point. The number of years, calculating based on the history of man, the number of years that the world has known peace has been so small in comparison to the rest of history. So the vast majority, 95% of history has been marred by war. And maybe a mere 5% of history has had times of peace. And of course, it's relative. I mean, there might be peace in one area, but there's not peace in another area. And so that's been the mark of human history. But Jesus is going to establish a kingdom of peace. And once again, Isaiah tells us about that. In the second chapter of Isaiah, verses 2-4, it says this: "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the kingdom of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We shall walk in his paths.' For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And now listen, "He shall judge between many nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Wow.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now let's continue with today's message.
That's the future. Under the reign of Jesus, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. All of the money that is spent to build up national defense, in some cases, and in other cases, national offense, all of the billions and even trillions of dollars that are spent on weapons of war, all of that is going to be diverted toward agriculture. Think about that. No need to continue to try to develop new and better weapons because there will be no war. He will put an end to war, and all of those resources will be put into agriculture and into the blessing of humanity. And so it is a kingdom of peace that Jesus is going to bring. And then it is a kingdom of joy. A kingdom of joy. And in this word joy, you have implied happiness, contentment, fulfillment. All of these things are wrapped up in this idea of joy. Now, if you were to go out and do a survey, and I don't care where you go, any place in the world, you just go out and ask the one simple question, what do you want more in life than anything else? Most people are going to answer with this same answer. Most people are going to say, well, I'd like to be happy. Now, happiness and joy are a little bit different. Joy is better because joy includes happiness and fulfillment and contentment. Happy, the reality of happy is it's fleeting. It's based on circumstances, but joy goes beyond that. So joy is something greater. This is what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. But this is something that man, even though this is the great quest of all humanity for all time, we've never been able to attain it. We've never been able to find it. And of course, the biggest problem is because we try to find it apart from God who made us. And that's an impossibility. C.S. Lewis was absolutely right when he said this: human history is the long and terrible story of man trying to find something other than God that will make him happy. That's what history is. And it's a long and terrible story. Actually, think about this. Attempts at utopia during the 20th century, whether communist or fascist, all produce something more like hell on earth than heaven on earth. Now, the irony is that the claim was that they were going to bring heaven to earth without God being involved in it. Fascism, communism, it's all atheism. The only difference between the two is one is oppression by maybe a single individual. The other is oppression by a group of people, a party, the Communist Party, for example. And again, the irony is that those who embraced these ideologies, they believed wholeheartedly that they were going to bring about a perfect world. That's why they're called utopian ideologies. The word utopia means no such place. And that's the truth. There is no such place. They thought they were going to establish it. It never came into existence. But like I said, the irony is that thinking that they were going to create some kind of a heaven on earth, they literally created a hell on earth. And so it's always the case where the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of man is always ultimately corruption, conflict, and misery. That has marked man's attempt at self-rule from the very beginning. That's the way it's been. And it's the way it's always going to be. And it's astounding that we're living in a time right now when people who should know better, who should know that these ideas do not work, they not only do not create heaven on earth, they create hell on earth. And we've got people insisting that that's really the way that we should go. It's crazy. It's a crazy time. But people are longing for a kingdom. They're longing for happiness and these things. But the tragedy, again, is that they're trying to find them apart from God. And it will never, ever be realized. It will always go in the same direction. But Christ, he has brought a kingdom that is a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. And once again, we look to Isaiah in the 35th chapter, the 10th verse. In Isaiah, this is how he described the future in relation to joy. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's where things are headed. That's where God plans to take the world when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Just for your own personal edification, read Isaiah chapter 11, read Isaiah chapter 35, read Isaiah chapter 65. All of those chapters, along with the portion of chapter 2 that we looked at, all of those chapters speak to us about the glory of this kingdom that's coming. And there's a ton of things that I left out. So it'll be a blessing to you to go back over those chapters yourself and just see in even more detail the things that the Lord has in store for us as he comes. So here's the thing, as we close today, here's the thing that we need to realize, that the kingdom that is coming has already come in one sense. You see, we wait for that kingdom that we've been talking about. We wait for the universal manifestation of it, but we can experience it personally and individually today. Because the passage that I used as our basis for looking at the kingdom, Romans 14, 17, Paul there says, for the kingdom of God, and he's speaking of the kingdom of God in its present manifestation, for the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, the present manifestation of the kingdom of God is in the life of individual Christians and in the life of the church collectively. So in our lives individually, we can experience the kingdom as we come under the lordship of Jesus, as he becomes the king of our lives. That's really what happens when we receive Christ. He becomes our king. And when he becomes our king, we enter the kingdom and we then experience that righteousness. We experience that peace. We experience that joy. That's in our own hearts. But then that reality manifests itself amongst us collectively as well. So you see, the church, and it's interesting because the New Testament speaks of the church as the kingdom of God. So we're like the beginning of the kingdom. So the church ideally should be a place where there's righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what the church should be. And if for whatever reason that's not what it is, then we've missed the point somewhere, and we need to figure that out. And, you know, but it usually comes down to we just haven't really allowed Jesus to be the Lord of the church as he is supposed to be. But that's the truth of the matter. So the kingdom is already here, but yet it's still coming in its fullest manifestation in the future. And as we await the full manifestation of the kingdom, we have the opportunity to advance the kingdom in its present form. We have the opportunity to advance the kingdom in its present form. Now, make no mistake about it. The church is not responsible for establishing the kingdom of God on the earth. That's the responsibility of Jesus. He's going to come and do that. But in the meantime, until he comes to do that, we can advance the kingdom in the world today as we see other people brought under the lordship of Christ. So as we wait for the return of Jesus, we're to work toward the advancement of the kingdom while we wait for him. So here we are. We've experienced that, and God wants to use us to advance that. He wants to use us to spread that to the life of others. And so I want to leave you with this appeal today, the appeal to make sure you are as a subject of the kingdom. Make sure you are yielded to the king and allowing him to do in and through your life the things that he wants to do, because he still wants to advance his kingdom further and further in the world before he comes to establish it in its universal sense. The Lord is moving today. He's marching on, and he is saving people. That's how the kingdom expands, by people coming into the kingdom. The kingdom grows by new people being added to it, and God has called us, and he wants to use us to play a part in that. And you know, here's the amazing thing. You never know to what extent God might use you. You never know. He might use you in very humble ways where he's called you and you're going to advance the kingdom. You know, the kingdom advances one soul at a time. One person coming to Christ, God might use you in humble ways to, you know, share with a few people in your life that are going to come to him, and you never know what's going to happen with their lives. You know, you might be the person that shares with somebody that's going to go on to radically advance the kingdom because that's the call of God on their life. And, you know, in the end, you're going to be a partaker of the fruit of that. But it's also possible that you might be a person that God's going to do something through that's going to be extraordinary. Extraordinary, not in the sense that you're better than everybody else, but just extraordinary. You know, God has a different call on people's lives. And the important thing is that we're faithful to the call, whether it's to lead few to Christ or many, to influence few or many, God's called us all to something. But you never know. You never know what God's going to do. And I shared this last service. It just kind of came spontaneously. But I was thinking about what happened last weekend in Dallas. And I was thinking about Greg. And I was thinking about just, you know, the way that God used him last week and has used him over the years. And Greg and I have been really good friends for lots and lots of years. And I've seen, you know, God do amazing things in his life. But I think he probably more than anybody else is absolutely astounded at what happened last week. Did you know that that event, Harvest America, was the largest single evangelistic event in the history of the United States? That's astounding. Over 350,000 people participated. 350,000 people participated in that event. Over 25,000 people made decisions to follow Christ last weekend. It's amazing. And again, my bigger point, I mean, that's a great, you know, praise report that we wanted to share. But my bigger point is that if you would have asked Greg, you know, 40 plus years ago, when he first came to Christ, if you would have asked him if he, you know, could have ever imagined in his entire life that something like this would be something that God would do, of course he would not have been able to even conceive of such a thing. And my point is that we don't know what God's going to do with our lives, but we know that he's going to do something. And whether it's something like that, or something more, you know, humble, for lack of a better word. I mean, it's not, you know, you don't have the masses of people and so forth. That doesn't matter. The point is not how big or small it is. The point is that we faithfully do whatever it is that God has called us to do in regard to the advancing of his kingdom. And so we have the opportunity. Jesus is going to come. The kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. But the kingdom has already come in one sense, and we are part of it. And part of our task is to advance it while we have the opportunity. So God help us to do that. And God help us to stay encouraged. Because remember, the day is coming when the Lord God omnipotent will reign. The kingdoms of this world will be the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. And there will be a shout of hallelujah. There shall be a shout of praise the Lord that will be heard throughout the universe and beyond. What a glorious day.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen. I'd like to remind you that you can get today's message and any additional resource designed to encourage you in your walk with the Lord at our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at @BackTOBRadio. or like us on our Facebook page. We enjoy hearing from you. We would also like to send you a gift for supporting Back to Basics. Our gift for this month for a donation of any size is A.W. Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God. This spiritual masterpiece exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Revelation. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.